From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Throughout the year, we have had a lot of thoughtful conversations on Insight that defy a traditional space for news. We get to go deeper and take the time to explore issues that are far from simple and are hard to easily define. As we say goodbye to 2023, we're going to close with two great examples. This year, we launched two podcasts that encapsulate what we value here at CAP Radio. And we're going to start with Mid-Pacific, which explores what it means to be Asian American and the feeling of being caught between two worlds. As host Sarah Mises-Tan explains, through food, politics, mental health, music, and so much more, we learn how loaded of a question it can be.
After we kind of lay the groundwork for this term Asian American, I wanted to just like dive into some history, show people that there are deep roots of Asian American and Asian America in this country. And then we kind of just like stem out into topics that I have had conversations about with my own friends and family that tend to be common connectors for the Asian American community. So talking about like food, even though you may not speak a language or you may not be from that country, food can be a powerful connector. Talking about mental health, talking about representation in politics.
Today, we're going to revisit a conversation we had about family. Whether Asian American or you have a story of immigration or you are a 10th generation Californian, the family that comes before us shapes how we walk through life. And in recent years, the dynamic of Asian American families is taking more of the spotlight in pop culture. The biggest example being the Oscar-winning film Everything Everywhere All at Once, which hones in on the mother-daughter relationship, among other themes. And this film resonates deeply with some of the journalists you listen to on CAP Radio. Back in May, I sat down with Mid-Pacific host Sarah Mises-Tan, as well as CAP Radio reporters Janelle Salonga and Kristen Lamb. Well, Sarah, I want to start with you because as a journalist, you really took this personal shift with this series. You were exploring Asian American identity, but listeners also got to learn a great deal from many voices you included. And you really show that by interviewing your mom and your sister. So how did all of this come about?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the mother-daughter relationship has definitely been a topic that I've wanted to dive into for a long time. I feel like it's so complex, especially kind of with Asian American identity layered on top and this like acculturation gap that kind of happens when you've got a difference in immigration pattern and experiences in this country. And, you know, I think my relationship with my mother and my sister's relationship with my mother has always been kind of this like own narrative of its own, honestly. And so when I wanted to talk about the mother-daughter relationship, I initially actually was not going to include them because it seemed a little too close. But it was a story editor that we had who was like, well, why don't you just ask your mom what she thinks? And I was like, oh my God. But also, I hope people enjoy us getting real, real and a little bit raw, I guess.
Yeah. And I think it resonates with a lot of people. And so the springboard for the conversation that we're going to be having right now is the film Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. For those who haven't seen the movie, why is this a really profound symbol of Asian American identity and culture?
Yeah, you know, I guess I think of Everything Everywhere All at Once as being like particular in itself, just because it really gets messy when it comes to Asian American identity. I think as we're going to get into, there are a lot of lines that just like hit in a particular way if you are Asian American. And it just goes there with the mother-daughter relationship. It doesn't hold back. To me, it felt like a very real depiction of a lot of the conversations I've had with my own mother. And then I think like just the fact that it showcases different generations. I think that intergenerational conversations and intergenerational relationships are very much a part of the Asian American experience as well. And I think it just did that in a really nuanced way where it wasn't like stereotypical. And I loved that. And I think that's probably what resonated with a lot of people with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was very much real. But then there's also these kind of ridiculous parts as well. You're like, you know, because, and I don't want to give it away, but it's definitely worth watching. So Janelle, that brings me to you. How did this film resonate with you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, everything Sarah said is so true, I guess, for me as well, especially like watching those intergenerational relationships and this kind of like very fraught relationship with a mother and her daughter that kind of just stems from, you know, like different understandings of the world and of each other and different expectations along those lines. And I think that's something that, you know, is very resonant for me. But from, I guess, like a more lighthearted angle, as you were saying, like there are these moments like, you know, characters will say the name of, for example, like a movie, just a hair off what the actual movie title is. And that to me feels like such a relevant experience, you know, especially like having parents who immigrated, who, you know, sometimes like don't always have the right words in English, like right off the bat. Like that was very resonant for me. And then also there's like a line about, you know, the mom talks about how, you know, I hate that you get tattoos. You know that I hate when you get tattoos. I don't care if you say that it's for your family. I have like over 20 tattoos. And this is, you know, a conversation that I've continually had with my parents. So those are a couple of ways that, you know, for me, the movie, even in its lighthearted moments, made me feel really seen. Mm.
How about you, Kristen? Because you actually watched it with your mom, right?
Yeah, I mean, my mom also loved the movie, and particularly, like, one of her favorite things is just having a middle-aged Asian woman be the star and have so much range. And I think in general, like has been said, like, I just see a lot of my family and myself in the film. Like particularly, even though I'm like fourth and second generation Asian American with my family, like I still see like my grandparents on my dad's side immigrated from Hong Kong, speak Cantonese. Like the grandpa in the movie really reminds me of my late grandfather. And it's pretty wild.
So Kristen, what were some of the hardest or some of the more emotional parts during the movie for you?
I think the ending sequence always gets me. Like the first few times I would watch it, I would always be like sobbing the last like 10 minutes. But I think like the confrontations, especially between like Evelyn and her father and then Evelyn and Joy, are always really hard to watch. Yeah.
How about you, Janelle?
Yeah, honestly, it's the same. I mean, I love the like just seeing the switch that flips with, you know, Evelyn talking about like her daughter's kind of like nihilism and depression and detachment as something separate from her to accepting like that is something that is part of her. I think especially as somebody who, you know, has mental illness, who struggles with their own things, like it's like really meaningful, I guess, to see that depiction of someone coming to terms with, you know, from the other side, that that's not like those, like the mental illness or, you know, whatnot is inextricable from how like that person experiences the world. It's not something that, you know, can kind of just be divorced from somebody's personhood. And then, you know, at the end, the confrontation where Evelyn says, "I am your mother, don't call me Evelyn." That's so like, you know, I'm in my 20s and that's still something, you know, I've joked around like, oh, calling my parents by their first names, but it feels so wrong. Like the "I am your mother" part is so funny. But it's also so emotional because that's like, I think, such a signifier of family relationships. And the speech that Kristen is talking about between Evelyn and her father, or Joy's grandpa, you know, is also has me bawling, you know, because that's also a signifier of Joy coming, or Evelyn coming to terms with the fact that her daughter is not this like perfect person, that she is a person who has, you know, dreams and goals and feelings all on her own. And no matter how much like she as a mom wants to control that, you know, she can't. And that is really emotional for me every time.
Yeah, regardless of her family, we're still constantly learning about each other. And a big piece of that is acceptance, right? And accepting our family members. How about you, Sarah?
Oh, totally. I think I'm going to jump on and agree with Kristen and Danielle that last scene where Evelyn confronts her daughter. Oh my God. I like cry every time I watch it. It's like actually visually difficult for me to get through it without having to turn away. I was like looking too close to the sink. Getting too close to the sun, honestly.
Watching with your like finger with your hands in front of your face.
Totally. I mean, I'm tearing up just like talking about it a little bit, just because it's like, you know, for me, I felt like it was like this moment that was, I have I guess maybe like many Asian American daughters, I have a somewhat difficult relationship with my mother, and my career choice is not something that she saw for me. And so I really resonated a lot with Joy as just like being this example, almost like a villain to my mom's life, which I think is something that really resonated with me. Like my mom, I think sometimes looks at me and is like, you are the literal foil. Like you are just here to torture me. And so it's like a really, I guess it's a moment of relief when Evelyn and Joy have that confrontation, and Evelyn actually like, she says she's sorry, and that's something that I think a lot of maybe immigrant mothers have a difficult time with sometimes. And I guess that's like, I don't know, I guess they just say things that I wish my own mother could kind of like be able to step back yeah. and see in herself and maybe say she's sorry. I guess I wish that we had that moment ourselves, and we just, we don't, because this is real life and not like a superhero movie.
Yeah, what I've learned just being mixed race, and it's not only with my Asian American background, but, you know, oftentimes like people in my family show they're sorry. They don't actually yes, say totally. They're sorry,
so,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
that word is a tricky one. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio reporters Sarah Mises-Tan, Janelle Salonga, and Kristen Lam about how the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once resonated with their Asian American identities. So this movie touches upon a lot of themes. I mean, the daughter, Joy, is an only child. But for what I'm going to ask you next, this is also be considered like the eldest, right, of the family. How did this resonate with each of you, Sarah?
Well, I am, I guess, the eldest, eldest daughter. And so there are a lot of expectations, I think, and this is something we touch on in the podcast as well. But for some reason, I think eldest child, especially for a family that has immigrated to this country, I think there's a lot of expectations on what that child's going to be and what their career is going to be and who they're going to, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so I feel like all of that layered on top of, I think, just general expectations that mothers have for their daughters, because oftentimes I think mothers see daughters as an extension of themselves, and it gets really intense for Asian Americans in particular. You know, I think when it comes to, I guess I like don't want to stereotype or like speak too much for other people. So I'll let Janelle and Kristen jump in a second. But, you know, when it comes to like the very particular kind of back and forth poll that we discuss about being a first daughter and being Asian American, I think it's basically like the most it's a very intense push and pull of like you trying to define your own identity versus someone else kind of putting expectations on you and you feeling pressure to fulfill those expectations.
Yeah. Conditions, right? Yeah. How about you, Janelle?
Yeah, and I think, too, I'm also the eldest, but it's kind of an unusual dynamic in that my sister is, you know, almost 12 years younger than me. So in a sense, I spent most of my early part of my life as an only child. And I do think that, you know, that experience was very starkly different, you know, from my teenage years for a lot of different reasons. And I think, you know, the fact that my mom had me when she was, you know, comparatively young, you know, she was still in her 20s, whereas, you know, my sister was born when my mom had lived a little more life, right? Like, I think that that is like another layer of the dynamic of, you know, just it's essentially, you know, my mom is growing up kind of at the same time as I am. And I think that that makes for a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of expectations in different directions, especially with kind of like, you know, the cultural background of different expectations. You know, my mom is from the Philippines. I was born in America. And I think that there are some, I guess, like there's some chafing there between what's expected and what's maybe I'm just kind of like sounding like a broken record repeating what Sarah said. But yeah, I think there's this concept that is often referenced that I feel a little bit loath to reference because I think it's a little more complicated than people usually depict it. But it's called utang na loob. And it's kind of this idea that you're, you know, in debt to your family. But you know, with a little bit more weight to that, not in the sense of like, oh, this is a terrible burden I must bear, but like the burden of gratitude almost. And so, you know, navigating that, I think, especially as somebody who has complicated feelings about being American is definitely, you know, something else to be added onto the pile of, you know, what makes like being the eldest, specifically in an Asian American family, like very fraught, I guess.
Yeah, there's another layer to this because the daughter in the film is openly gay. So how do you feel this dynamic? How do you feel it was portrayed in the film? Kristen, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I am a gay woman, and I have also had times in my family where kind of processing that has been difficult. Like some of the lines where Evelyn says that she thinks that the grandfather would have a heart attack, wouldn't be able to handle, like knowing that his granddaughter is gay, or even when she tells Joy, you know, he's from a different generation. Like those are all exact things my mom has told to me about her own mother. And I feel like it was really, it felt really real. And yeah, it can just be like, I see like how I can see like my mom's like how she has kind of grown and our relationship has also changed. I mean, you know, the grandfather's still alive in the movie, but in my case, like some of the issues that I had with grandparents, with like, you know, this is just my partner, it's just my friend, you know, now those, some of those grandparents are no longer with us. So I felt it was very real and very personal.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Janelle, what did you think about, you know, the choice that they made by including this dynamic in the film?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so, I'm so glad that they included it, because I think that, you know, especially seeing, I don't know that Joy, you know, necessarily comes out and says, like, I'm a lesbian necessarily, but I think that, like, having, you know, specifically, like, gay women in like movies or TV shows isn't necessarily something that is still super common. And I feel like that is huge. And especially to do that, you know, from the lens of the Asian American experience is also pretty impactful, because, you know, just as like being a person is impacted by, you know, your cultural background, like obviously how you experience, you know, dating and sexuality is also influenced by that cultural background. And I think like, you know, I've also had a lot of friends who have dealt with those kind of same dynamics with their parents, and that kind of tension of, like Kristen mentioned, that idea of like, oh, your partner is just your friend. And it, I think it was really meaningful to see all of that like represented like at large in a way that like, you know, didn't really diminish like Joy's sexuality, or didn't say like, oh, this is just some random thing. And I really appreciated that there was, like, you know, nuance to that.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, you know, like, when you watch the trailer, you were obviously, like, all in on watching the movie. Did it meet your expectations? Sarah?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I think, I mean, you know, I love that it's kind of like a superhero, like a weird, fantastical superhero battle for so much of it. And then it just like hits you right in the emotional gut at the end. I think I wasn't really expecting that. I was expecting it to kind of be more lighthearted and funny. And it is. But yeah, I think it delivered personally.
How about you, Janelle?
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea what to expect going into it. The reason that I watched it or wanted to watch it was actually because of this Twitter thread that my friend made, you know, speaking about how the movie raised questions of what would it be like, you know, if we let go of our debts to each other, if we let kind of the like misunderstandings just be and make an effort to better accept and understand each other where they are. And so that was my understanding of the movie going into it. I didn't expect to, you know, have so much fun watching it, but I also did not expect to like bawl my eyes out. It was kind of gross. Like I was in the theater and like there's tears collecting behind my mask and I was like, this is terrible. But in that way, it totally met expectation, or like I guess like exceeded expectations, and I really loved it. I've watched it way too many times than probably I should, but yeah, I loved it. I love that it was like, I think, a really good piece of science fiction. You know, speaking about like the apology, this like fantastical apology, it's science fiction in the sense of like it's improbable, but it's not necessarily impossible. It's something that we can imagine in our own lives. And I thought that was really, I thought that was really magical to be a part of.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it dives into like really like heavy dynamics, but it's also so much fun, right? You know, they have a lot of fun with it. Kristen, what was your favorite part in the film?
I really like the rock scene. there are just some parts where it's just like so wild and you're like, oh my gosh. And I also like the parts that make my mom uncomfortable, like some thing scenes with trophies that they sit on. those are good.
Oh my god, I love that there's like a scene where they're like the two Evelyn and Joy are fighting, and at some point Evelyn's just like, Joy, why are you wearing such a stupid outfit? And I was like, oh my god, it's like exactly something my mom would say in the middle of like an actual like serious discussion, just something like totally irrelevant, like, oh, we're gonna worry about what I'm wearing right now. Okay.
Like, are you listening to me? Yeah. How about you, Janelle?
I know we've been talking about mother-daughter relationships, but I really love the dad. I think my, you know, typically Asian dads are presented as stoic, but my dad has always been really silly and funny, and I think Waymond really got to the heart of that, and I really loved, you know, his philosophy about, you know, choosing to see the good side of things. I think that was really powerful, and I cried at that too, but I cried at a lot of the movie, so.
Well, I want to thank all three of you. What a fun conversation.
Thanks so much, Vicky.
Yeah, thanks.
That is my conversation with Mid-Pacific host Sarah Mises-Tan, along with CAP Radio reporters Janelle Salonga and Kristen Lam, sharing how the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once resonated with their Asian American identity. Our conversation first aired back in May, and you can listen to the podcast Mid-Pacific at capradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, we'll get a taste of CAP Radio's newest podcast, This Is What It Feels Like, in an episode that was a fan favorite, a 106-year-old who defied the stereotypes of getting older. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.